title of my message this morning, if you're a note taker, is simply this: the medium for the miracle. The medium for the miracle. And I believe that God will use that in these next few moments to help us this morning. How many of you guys have a cell phone? Raise your hand if you got a cell phone. Yeah, that's pretty much everybody. How many of you guys ever screen calls on your cell phone? You like someone who call you, and maybe it's just like a really inconvenient moment, and you just can't get into it because you know that conversation is going to take 30 minutes. I'm not going to go there. How many of you ever screen the person that's sitting next to you phone call, and they're elbowing you right now? You know, like, hey, yeah, you screen my calls. It's funny now that screening phone calls, there's an etiquette to it, right? Like, whenever I screen a call, I can't actually hit decline because then they'll know that I'm screening their call and it'll go straight to voicemail, so I have to let it ring out. Have you ever been on the phone and you're like reading an article or on social media and someone calls you and you don't want to answer it, so you just have to sit there and let it, like, and then once it goes to voicemail, you're like back to scrolling, you know, because you, anybody, I mean, come on, let's just be real here, y'all. I'm an authentic show. Let's be real. Some of y'all, maybe you don't do that. You're like, no, I answer every call. Every person is valuable to me. No, I mean, I love this. I've got kids, and so sometimes my kids humble me because they don't know cell phone etiquette. And so sometimes the phone will ring, and it'll be on the kitchen counter or somewhere, and they'll say, Daddy, the phone's ringing, and I don't want to answer the phone right now. So I'm like, no, don't answer it. And they just pick it up and answer it, and they're like, here you go. And I'm like, hi, how are you? What's going on? So glad you called. 45 minutes later. You know, for whatever reason, maybe you screen calls because it's just inconvenience. Maybe you screen a call because you're like, man, I can't get into that right now with them. Maybe an ex calls or a boss or maybe the family member, and that's just a little too raw right now. I can't get into that conversation. But I wonder what it comes to God, whether we screen God's calls. When God calls us or taps us on the shoulder or begins to speak to us, whether we go, I can't answer that right now. I'm not ready to have that conversation yet, God. You don't understand what's going on. I've got a screen. I'm going to let that go to voicemail, right? I'm going to let that go to the prayer request box. You know, like I can't answer that call right now. And whatever reason you may have for not answering God's call, can I tell you this, that God is always trying to talk to you. God every single day wants to talk to you. God is present in your life. And, you know, sometimes he's not going to ask you for anything. And sometimes it's not about just correcting you or speaking to you about certain things he likes. Sometimes he just wants to talk with you. He almost like a father and a son relationship or a mother and daughter. He just wants to have a conversation and just hear from you. But I think there are times in our life where we screen God's call. Where we go, God, I can't talk to you. I can't go there right now. The other thing I love about my cell phone is this, is it tells me exactly how many missed calls I have, right? So like if I've missed a call from my wife, it'll just tell me your wife called one missed call. But if there's an emergency or something there that is going on where they need to get a hold of me and maybe I'm away from my phone, I come back to my phone and it'll say 3 missed calls. And it'll tell me how many times somebody got a hold of, trying to get a hold of me. And I call them back and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, I needed an answer from you on this. And I wonder if we were to take an inventory of our own lives, how many missed calls do we have from God? So not only do we screen God's call, but how many missed calls do we have where God is trying to get a hold of us? Because this, when we sign up for this life of faith, when we sign up to participate, it's not just that we're signing up for heavenly life insurance. We are signing up to participate in the story of redemption for mankind, right? And so when we sign up to serve God and to serve his kingdom, there are going to be moments when God calls on us. When God says, hey, there's something I want you to do, or there's this space I want you to bring my name into, there's these individuals I want you to encourage. But I wonder if when we get to heaven, right, and we're standing there at the pearly gates, and God is there, and he says, well done, good, and you avoided me, servant, right? You know, like, I wonder if we said, God, I'm sorry, I know there was 40 missed calls. Anybody ever have those moments where you run into face-to-face with somebody that you've been screening their call, and they go, hey, I've been trying to call you, and you go, weird, I don't even know, like, I think it's my phone. Really? It's your phone? Yeah, I got a Nokia. It's just this old, you know, like, I'm sorry. Anybody ever do that? And you immediately like get sweaty and you think, I don't want to lie, but I don't want to tell the truth. You ever have that moment? I'm actually screening you. I don't want to have a conversation, you know. I wonder when we get to heaven, God's going to, I was trying to get a hold of you for like 40 years. Like, remember your whole life that you had? Remember that thing that I gave you? And that redemption and that salvation that I handed to you? And I wanted to do something with that, not just exist, not just go through life, but there was something that I designed you for. This morning, I want to talk to you on this concept of this, that we are the medium for the miracle. All month long, we've been leaving and speaking into revival, going, God wants to breathe life back into certain situations. God wants to do the miraculous in certain situations. And God wants to move in, and the things that were dead, he wants to call them back alive. But I believe this, that in order to see revival in the spaces that we exist, can I tell you that there needs to be a medium? And oftentimes, you and I are that medium. You are the thing that connects the power to the problem. Right? Like, we are the conduit for Christ's power. Think of it like a copper wire. There's no innate power in the wire in and of itself, but what it does is it attaches itself to a power source and then something that needs that power. Can I tell you that is you and I? The things in our life that needs revival, can I tell you that it needs a medium? It needs a person that will stand up and say, I'll put one hand on God and I'll put one hand on the problem, and God, you can move through me. You can use me into my family, into my community, into the spaces that I inhabit. Let me be the medium for the miracle. Now listen, the miracle's not you. Like, you don't have the power. It's not like we generate it and we have this life force that we exhibit. No. We're just the conduit. We're just the connection. We know the source. We know the power. In the story of Gideon, we see the medium for the miracle. And I love really the story of Gideon because we get to see a behind-the-scenes example of what many times God sums up in quick summary. So usually God will say, and God raised a man up. And you're like, well, there's got to be some context to that. How did he just raise him up? You know, you see moments in biblical history where God raised Moses up and he helped the Israelites. God raised Samson up and was able to defeat the Philistines, right? God raised Paul up and was able to spread the message of Jesus all over the known world. And so sometimes when we see just that sentence, you go, okay, is there more to that story? Because God, I'd like it if you would raise me up. Like, help me up. Help me do something great for you. And in the story of Gideon, we get to see how God does that. So we get to see the steps and the processes in how God raises people up. So this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you go, listen, there's no way God could do that with me. You don't understand my story. You don't understand my history. You don't understand my inadequacies. You don't understand, like, I'm deficient in so many ways. And it's quickly plausible to think that, okay, yeah, God, you can't use me. I know, like, that preacher always talks about medium for the miracle, but you don't understand my story. You don't understand my situation. So this morning, I want to bring three thoughts to you on how God raises individuals up, men and women up, to be the medium for the miracle. And it's three simple thoughts, and it's right here. There's always a cause, there's always a call, and there's always a can't. There's always a cause, there's always a call, and there's always a can't. So just to understand this, we see first the cause. Judges 6, verse 6. We've already read it, but just to refresh our memory, it says that Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Meaning this, that they lived in an agrarian society, and so everything they relied on was livestock and farming. And so when the Midianites would come in, they would basically destroy the livelihood of the Israelites. It'd be like this, if somebody came into your house every 2 weeks, took your paycheck, and kicked you out of your house or apartment, right? I mean, that's exactly what the Midianites are doing. How many of you guys would probably be a little frustrated with whomever did that? Now, you might say, my mortgage company already does that to me, but you know what, like if there was an individual, I'd probably be a little frustrated. So this is exactly what happened. And it's not even like it just happened once, right? So scripture said this, that every time they went to go plant their crops, the Midianites came in. And this is 7 years running. You'd think they would wise up. You'd think it'd be a little smarter. Be like, hey, listen, I think the Midianites might be coming. I know it's like planting time, and so let's set some guard. But they don't. The story just tells us that every 7 years, the Midianites came in, took their livelihood, so much so that they weren't even living in houses anymore. They're living in cliffs and caves and finding situations out in the wilderness to live in. And I think this, that oftentimes in our own life, we might see situations similar to that, where I think you could literally, the Israelites would probably tell you that we are living in what I would say is hell on earth. I got no food. I got no money. I don't have a house. We're being oppressed every single day. Like, this is the most miserable existence. And I think that in maybe in colorful language, they would probably tell you, I'm living in hell. Like, this is a literal hell on earth. I don't know about you, but this seems like a pretty great cause that a hero could step into. Right? So let's see where our hero is. I love this. So verse 11 in Judges chapter 6 says this: Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now, there's very important context we've got to understand this, and that's this, that nobody threshes wheat in a wine press. To thresh wheat, you had to get on top of a hill where the wind would blow at its strongest. Because what you would do is you would take the wheat and you would throw it in the air. And as you threw it in the air, there would be an opening where you would thresh wheat in the threshing floor. And as the wind would blow the chaff or the unusable wheat away, the wheat grain would then fall to the ground. A wine press is the exact opposite. It's not at the top of a hill, which is very visible. It's at the bottom of a hill. It's in a valley, and it's covered. And that's where people in their awesome toes, you know, that always grosses me out, like where they're stepping on the grapes. It's just like, ugh, I don't want to think about that, right? But they're stepping on there, right, and it's covered. There's no wind. There's no wind at the bottom of a hill. And something that was designed for smashing grapes was not intended to thresh wheat. So we don't find our hero in the gym. We don't find our hero on the gun range. We don't find our hero at CIA headquarters. We don't find our hero out there doing hero things. We find a hero hiding. Can I tell you this, that God can use people who are hiding from Him? God can use people that are afraid of the hell that they're facing every day. God can speak to you. God can find you even when we're hiding. Even when we're hiding from hell. So here we see a cause. The Midianites are oppressing the Israelites. And I wonder what hell you face every day. I wonder what situations you face every day in your workplace, in your homes, in your family, in your marriages. I wonder what situations you're hiding from. And you know it's bad, and you would admit it's bad, and you would go, this needs to be fixed, but you know what? I can't fix it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to avoid it. It's not like Gideon was going to be surprised, right? Again, I'm going back to this. This is the seventh year. So Gideon knew the Midianites were out there. So Gideon's hiding in his wine press doing something he's not supposed to do. And that also speaks to the harvest size. He had a little bitty harvest to fit in what normally would hold grapes. Little bitty. And I wonder how often, man, the enemy wants to corner Christians and push them into little spaces and go, here's where you belong, don't come out. Here's where you belong. This is where you can do your church stuff. Don't take it out into the city. Here's where you can talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus in the workplace. Here's where you can talk about Jesus. Don't try to use your social media to promote the gospel. Here's where you belong, right? Just stay in the corner and shh. See, we find Gideon, our hero, not doing hero things. He's hiding and he's afraid. I wonder if Gideon, you guys ever meet people who like talk a big game and they'll like tell you like when they're really frustrated about something. Like you have a friend that calls to vent to you and maybe on the way home they're like, man, listen, my boss is the worst boss. Next time I'm in my office, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell her, this is not how I'm treated. I need a raise, I need extra benefits, and I need an extra day off, right? You know, like they tell you the list, right, the list of the multiple things they're going to tell you. And then the next day they go to work, you're like, I love my job. Thank you so much. You're a blessing. You're great. You guys ever meet people that would talk like they were the toughest person in the game, right? You know, and then when it actually got to the game, they were like, I can't do that. Terrified. You know, little keyboard warriors. That's what we have today, right? If I met you in person, I would destroy you. No, you wouldn't. You're 130 pounds. Come on, right? Like, you know, I love to picture Gideon as the keyboard warrior. He's hiding. He's afraid, right? And he's like, man, if I saw a Midianite, you know what I would do? I would take this threshing stick and I would knock him out, right? You know, like, well, then why are you hiding? Here's my question. Has the church become our wine press? Where we're cornered and told to stay inside the walls, and you could talk about how culture's going to be terrible and everybody's going to hell and if people would just be a Christian, but this is the place where we hide? Has the church become the wine press? You see, I think the words of Jesus were very clear when he says this, that we are a city set on a hill. We're the light of the world, that we should be the thing that's shining brightest into the darkest of spaces. But I wonder if at times the church is hiding. I wonder if we're pulling away. You see, I think it's easy at times to complain about certain situations in our world. And we look at certain things and we can complain about them. And you even see Gideon do that. He tells God, why are you letting this happen? But I think that God wanted something from Gideon, and he wants something from you and I. And he wants us to be the mediums for the miracles in our own lives where we see hell. God wants you to be the medium for that miracle in that place, in that situation. Being in church for as long as I have, sometimes you have church people, they will come and complain. Sorry, they will bring concerns that they've prayed about for a really long time. Forgive me. They will bring their Holy Spirit-inspired concerns. And, you know, they'll say something like, man, the next generation, they're just what? These Generation Z kids, they're doing all kinds of crazy things. They've got their phones all the time. They're listening to trap music, like all this kind of stuff. Like, oh, they're just, this is horrible. And they'll bring their concerns. And you're like, that's so great. Do you serve in kids ministry? Oh, no, that's somebody else's call. That's not my call. Oh, no. You know, the church, it doesn't have good community, good groups. And it's like, have you led a group yet? Well, no, that's like, I'm not going to do that. My question for you this morning is, could the thing that you're complaining about be the thing that you're called to? Could the thing that you're complaining about be the thing that God could be calling you to? Meaning this, the reason that you feel such concern and cut such burden for a certain thing is just a natural way of looking at a supernatural solution. Right? So we see things through our natural eyes and we complain, but then when the Holy Spirit gets on the inside of us, we now become the supernatural solution to a problem. So here Gideon is, he's hiding. And there's a cause on the other side of him. And God's asking him, God's raising him up because he wants him to be the medium for the miracle. This morning, what thing have you been complaining about, concerned about, worried about, that you're not doing anything about? And could God be asking you, well, you're the medium for the miracle. You're the medium for the miracle in your marriage. You're the medium for the miracle in your family. You're the medium for the miracle in your workplace. In your neighborhood, you're the medium for the miracle. When you see racism in your city, you're the medium for the miracle. When you see hate in your city, you're the medium for the miracle. When you see the world bullying the broken, you're the medium to build people up. When you see despair and pain, you're the medium for hope and encouragement. When you see the world telling the church to get in a corner, you're the medium to say, no, no, I'm the light of the world. I have the light of the world on the inside of me. You see, what cause is on the other side of your complaint? What thing, what great thing is God asking you to step into, or are you screening his calls? I'll let that go to a voicemail. The church prayer request line. So we have a cause. The other thing is we have a call. And we see here in verse 12, and this is humorous to me. I like to read the Bible sometimes with personality, because verse 12 says this, that the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero." That's funny, right? Here's why it's funny. Gideon's hiding in a wine press. He's not acting like a hero. He's afraid of the Midianites. He's hiding. How many heroes do you know that hide? Right? Can I tell you this, that when God calls you and I, it's usually because we're avoiding certain things. And I think that many times we avoid for what could be very good reasons and reasonable reasons where you go, "God, I there's no way I can do this. There's no, I'm inadequate. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, there's no way, God, I know you need this to be done, but I can't do it." Here's what I love about God, that God will always speak to your potential. God will always speak to your potential. Here's a man hiding from the thing that could be the great cause that he takes on, and he's afraid. He's not acting like a hero. But you know what so many of us think God would do? God would think God wants to find us doing something wrong and beat us up. What's the matter with you hiding in here, Gideon? Don't you know that the children of Israel are dying and starving and horrible things are happening to them? What are you doing in here hiding? Don't we have that view of God? That he's just waiting to catch us. But look what God does. He comes in and he says, "Hey, mighty hero. Hey, woman of God." So I wonder what potential God has for you. Can I tell you that the enemy will always tell you what you're not, but God will always tell you what you are. The enemy will always talk about your past, but God will always tell you you have a future. Can I tell you that the enemy will always try to bring death in your life, but God will always talk to you about your destiny? Can I tell you this morning that God is not looking to beat you up, he is looking to build you up. He's looking to encourage you. He's looking to strengthen you. He's looking to call you mighty woman of God, mighty man of God. There's a cause on the other side if you'll just be the medium to the miracle. No, I don't have the power. No, I don't have the ability. No, I don't have the strength, but you do. And if I'll just stand in the gap of tension, and if I'll just stand in that space that's difficult, and I'll just stand for my husband or my wife, or if I just stand for my neighbors, and I connect one hand to the source and another hand to the problem, God, you can use me. God, you can use me. What would a church look like if it was full of Gideons? What would Victory City Church look like if it was full of Gideon saying this, "There's problems out there, and I know the power, and I'm going to stand in the middle of them, and I'm going to be the medium for the miracle"? What would our church look like? What would our church look like if we had two Gideons? Maybe not all of you, but two. Just two individuals that would say, "Yes, use me, God." What would our spaces look like? You know what, church? I believe that we serve a God that can do so much more than we could ever dream or imagine. All it takes is someone going, "Use me. Use me." You think revival is a concept that Pastor Jim has talked about for the past 2 weeks of bringing life back in. You see, Jesus didn't come to make good people better. He came to make dead people alive. So anytime we bring the message of hope into situations, we're bringing the message of hope into dead spaces and spaces that need him. And revival is needed, church, in our communities, in our city, in our spaces. And I think about this, that heaven has always answered hell through a human. Heaven's always answered hell. And listen, hell might be loud right now, and hell might be screaming and shouting at us and feel like it's winning, but can I tell you that heaven has a great answer? And heaven's answer is you, full of the Holy Spirit, empowered by God, where God speaks into your potential. He speaks into your Holy Spirit capability. I wonder if we could be the medium for the miracle. I was on a missions trip a few years ago with teenagers, and we were in the Dominican Republic, and we were praying for individuals, and we were praying that they would come to know Jesus. We were also praying for healing. And it was at a big kind of crusade event where lots of individuals had come. And there was a lot of needs there, really a lot of needs. And so what was really great is you saw young kids, man, they were so passionate for Jesus, and they didn't have their prayers right. You know, like, have you ever heard a 13-year-old pray for somebody to get out of a wheelchair? Can I tell you, it is not eloquent. It is not pretty. It's about, like, their text messaging. Like, they start to pray, and then they just use emojis. But in real life, they're like, God, you know. Because I'm 13, they don't know how to pray, but they're just doing their best, right? They're just believing God. And then what's incredible is to see God do it. Boom. Right? So then these kids, they would watch their friends. They would be like, wow. And they didn't understand, right? They didn't understand. They weren't mature enough to get. And they were like, wow, you just did a miracle. And then they would come back and we'd have debrief time. And they're like, I just hope that tomorrow I can do a miracle too. And we'd have to bring them in like, hey, listen, you didn't do anything. Like, you didn't do the miracle. You were just the medium. God just used you. Church, can I tell you that God just wants to use you in spaces? And it's not about you. You don't have a life force that you can... I know I'm weird. I'm sorry. You're just the copper wire. Anyhow. So heaven wants to answer the hell you're living in through you, a human. So we have the cause, we have the call, and then we have the can't. I love this about God in verse 14. It says, then the Lord turns to him, because again, Gideon, you should read the story this afternoon. I'm only reading the front part of it. It'd be great afternoon reading. It says that then the Lord turned to him and said, well, go in the strength you do have. And I love this about God because, okay, first an angel comes and calls him mighty warrior, which you would think if an angel showed up to me this afternoon, I'm probably going to listen to it. I'm probably going to go, okay, what in the world? There was an angel? Yes, I will tell my neighbor about Jesus. An angel showed up to me. I'm definitely going to obey you. But you know, sometimes God's messengers don't always show up as an angel. Sometimes God's messengers show up as an associate pastor who wears black every Sunday. Where's the hankies? I'm kidding. But I love this, that God says, well, go in what you do have. Do you got a little bit of courage? I mean, maybe. Do you got a little bit of strength? God says, well, take what you have. You know why God says that? Because God knows really it's not about what you have. It's about what he's going to multiply. Right? So God's always had this ability to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed thousands of people, right? What was a Mediterranean first century charcuterie board to try to feed 4,000 or 5,000 people, now God takes, multiplies it, and turns into 1,000. Can I tell you, whatever little bit you have, can I tell you that God will multiply it? God will double, triple, 10 times, 100 times what you have. All you have to go is, God, here's what I have. Can you use it? I'll just be the medium for your miracle, right? I'll just do what you asked me. Come on. How many of you are thankful for a God who can multiply what we have? So I'm going to ask you this morning, right? What things do you feel, right? I'm not blank enough. What is it? I'm not connected enough. There's no way I can make a difference in my corporation. I'm just not connected enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not studied enough in Scripture. What is your not enough? Because I have one. In fact, I got a few. You have one. You see, heroes don't come ready-made. God raises them up, and God speaks into their potential, and God says, give me what you got, and I'll multiply it. And even when you don't feel enough, I'll be that blank for you. I'll fill in those gaps for you. I'll step into those spaces for you. All I need you to be is obedient. All I need you to do is answer my phone call. But then in verse 15, we have this can't moment, and Gideon says back, but Lord, how can I? God, I can't. I love Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It says this, instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. You know what's great when it comes to God? You can go, yeah, I'm not enough, but you are. And God, yes, I'm afraid, but you're my strength. God, I don't know that I can, but I know you can. You see, when we take away the need to perform and the need to be the solution, then we are able to just be the servant. And God gets to be the solution. And I think so often we put pressure on ourselves that we've got to be the thing that fixes it. I say, guys, we can't fix anything. But when we serve the one who can, then what we do, just like a waiter, maybe to your lunch, it's going to take it from the kitchen into the table. And that's what servants do. They go and they go, hey, here's the solution. I didn't make this, but I'm just bringing it to you. Medium for the miracle. So look at God and his patience. He finds Gideon hiding when there's hell raging in Israel. And he's hiding out, and God says, hey, mighty warrior. Gideon still won't go. So he goes, okay, well, listen, just go in the strength you have. Gideon still won't. So finally in verse 16, they're going to put on the screen here. It says, so the Lord then asked Gideon if he knew if his cousin was available. That's actually not scripture. That's me. I'm just joking. I just want to see if you guys were paying attention. Come on, y'all. Here's actually the word of the Lord. Okay. The Lord said to him, I'll be with you. And you'll destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Don't you remember earlier in verse 5 when we read it? And it said that they were such a swarm that they couldn't even count them. Listen, I know the hell you're facing could be so overwhelming. You're like, I don't even know where to begin, God. The power of God is this. Just fight them as if they're one man. And read it later. Seriously, go back and read this passage. It says this, that Gideon went out and fought the Midianites with flashlights and Tupperware. Literally, go read it. Flashlights and Tupperware. I mean, it's clay pots and torches, but you know what I'm saying. You won't use that anymore. In fact, Gideon didn't even have to fight. It says that the God turned the Midianites against one another and they fought themselves. You're the medium for the miracle. And God is patient. And God will speak to your potential. And God will empower you. All he needs is somebody to say, yeah, use me, God. Use me, God. Use me. You see, God's been in the habit of helping humans who couldn't help themselves. There was a man named Jesus, and he was the medium for the greatest miracle our world has ever seen. He stood on the cross between God and our depravity. He said, let me save God's children. He was the medium for our miracle. And this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You've run from him. You've been away from him. You're trying to do life on your own. Can I tell you that the greatest miracle you'll ever experience in your life is one of salvation. When you say yes to Jesus. So you don't just become a better person, you become an alive person. Something deep in your spirit, in your soul awakens, and it's a life that you've never experienced before. It's an awareness that you had not known before. Why? Because Jesus is living on the inside of you. It's the greatest miracle mankind has ever known. Salvation. And if you're here this morning, I'm going to give you a moment to step into that relationship with Jesus. But before we do this, we're going to get real practical this morning. All right? So I need you to find something you can write with or put in your phone. Everybody, go ahead right now. You pull your phone out, get something to write with. Because sometimes messages are really easy to forget on Monday. So what is your Midian? What is the hell that God is calling you to? What I want you to do is just write it down. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's a workplace. Maybe it's a neighborhood. You see, God taps all of us on the shoulder. Why? Because he wants us all to participate. So what's your Midian? What's the hell that you're facing that God is asking you to step into? And here's all I'm asking you to do. Put it down so you can look at it tomorrow and remember. And then you can look at it on Tuesday. And then you can look at it on Wednesday. And then you can look at it a month from now. Because guess what? God's going to be patient with you. God's going to keep speaking into your potential. God's going to keep telling you, go in the strength you have. God's going to keep calling you out until this. You stop screening his calls. You stop letting them go to a voicemail. And you say, God, I'll be the medium for your miracle. If everybody could stand with me as we close, we're going to pray. And we're going to end this morning just responding to the Lord. So if you've got your Midian there, that's where you know your miracle is going to take place. Now it's just about praying over the medium, you. So I'm going to pray over you this morning and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you, to help you. Can I tell you this? In this closing prayer, if you don't want anything to do with it, that's fine. But if you're somebody who's going, God, use me, this is the moment where you lock in. This is the moment where you go, okay, God, I need this right now. So this is your choice. In your moment, what do you want? So I'm going to pray. So if you will, I believe there's something to be said about physical posture. And sometimes our physical posture reveals our internal posture as well. So if you will, and you're somebody who's going, God, I want to be the medium for the miracle. Will you just put your hands just kind of like this, just as if you're receiving, both hands just kind of like this. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit's just going to empower you right where you stand. Right where you stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for every person with their hands held open. God, this is a physical sign to say this. There's nothing in my hand that can do anything unless, Holy Spirit, you put it there. So God, I pray for Victory City Church. That God, I pray that you're speaking to some Gideons this morning. That God, even though they may doubt what they have to offer, Lord, you're speaking into their potential. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, begin to fall on them. Begin to flood their life. Begin to put a new boldness and a new confidence, not in themselves, but in God, how you can use them, Lord Jesus. God, every person, God, who is facing hell, God, I pray that they bring heaven to it tomorrow. God, they bring heaven next week. God, they bring heaven next month. Every person who is facing a hell, Lord Jesus, God, I pray that heaven answers it through each individual this morning. God, with their hands held high. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You guys can put your hands down, and with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're somebody who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And I want to give you this opportunity right now. This is the greatest miracle you'll experience in your life. And if you don't know Jesus, this morning is your opportunity. If you're here and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, on the count of three, just lift your hand up and I'm going to include you in this closing prayer. If that's you, 1, 2, 3, just put your hands up. Yeah, I see your hands. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand in the back. I see your hand on the left. Come on, Victory City Church, can we put our hands together? I love this moment. This is an incredible moment. Right now. So here's the deal. If you raise your hand, just repeat this prayer after me. And church family, let's say it together, because we stand with one another. If you prayed this prayer, say, Dear Jesus, this morning, I surrender my life to you. I confess you, Lord of my life. You're my Savior. You died on the cross for my sin. You took the punishment I deserved so I could live a life I don't deserve. You rose on the third day, conquering death, conquering sin for my benefit. Jesus, help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In your name we pray. Amen.